we are doing our farewells today. And just before we get to Zorba, there's a lot of good ones been coming in. This is a good one too. Eddie at Glenfield, Raymond. A fond and great farewell. Norm Proven, in September of 1965 at the SCG in front of 78,056 after playing in 10 consecutive winning grand finals and being captain coach in many of them. I think five in total.
Right. Yeah.
That's Eddie at Glenfield.
There's famous pictures of people sitting on top of grandstand roofs and everything watching that game. And amazing, isn't it?
Did he not play in the last one in 66? Because they won from 56 to 66, 11 straight grand finals. Did he not play in 66?
I thought he missed the first one, or is it
the
other way around?
So maybe it's 60, maybe it's 1966 you're thinking of there, Eddie. Anyway, I tell you, he'll be able to clear it up for us. Our man Zorba is joining us as he does every week. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Timmy. Morning, Ray. And
morning,
I
Pete.
I was one of the young people up on top of the grandstand.
Okay.
At the Sheridan stand at the cricket ground. Alongside me was my good mate from Wollongong, who has gone on to become an immortal, Bob Fulton. That's where we watched that grand final.
That was 66, wasn't it, Pete?
It was.
Yeah.
He just
joined
Manly.
That's right.
And Proven played in that one?
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, all right. We'll get some.
I think he missed the first one, I think, in that streak.
Yeah, right. Hey, Zorb, gee, I don't know whether it was a better week for Manly. You weren't in the papers as much, which you'd probably thank the Sharks a bit for that one. But how are things travelling on the peninsula now? Last game today. What are your expectations of the performance from the team?
But I can't see them beating Brisbane. I don't ever tip against Manly. I can't do that. But I think their season was over a few weeks back. This is all simmered. I think it's got to be settled and should be settled sooner rather than later, I think. I think that's the way I would go. I think it's quite simple for the club to, you know, allay the fears about its training conditions. I would, if I was in charge, I'd open the facilities up to the media. Probably too late now because they'll be centred on teams in the finals from here on in. But that's what I would have done last week. I would have said, okay, bring your cameras in, bring your photographers, journos in, go right through our system here at the Academy of Sport at Narrabeen and have a look for yourselves. And I think it's come out now that the players have come out and said there's nothing wrong with the facilities, and I think a silly pass for Trent to go down. I don't know who let him down there, but it's a dead end in more ways than one.
Well, the coaching situation is all speculation during the week now that John Cartwright is favourite to take over in 2019.
Well, he's already signed at the request of Trent, and I suppose they've only got to top him up a bit to get the job. Look, it's only 16 jobs in the NRL. You can live in God's country, have a car, and get $500,000. Not a bad gig.
So is that? I know he's signed as an assistant, but there's been no word on a head coach as yet.
No, but I think that'll come sooner rather than later. I think everyone's got to get today out of the way, and they can go on from here. I understand that they've got season reviews tomorrow, of which Trent will be at, is what my information is.
Interesting. JT, well done, Rugby League. A great farewell in front of a sold-out crowd. And, of course, the result is going the right way. And it's on the back of a lot of the stuff that Jonathan Thurston did. It's storybook career and one that we can celebrate and should celebrate for a long, long time, Zorb.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, nothing can compare with the scenes that are... I mean, they can't get crowds like that when they play there. 26,500 people. Nothing can compare with the scenes at Cbus on the Gold Coast last night when JT played his last game of rugby league. It was great to see the champ one more time. Children, adults, grandparents, lots of Titan fans. I had several Titan fans texting me from the game, friends of mine that are season ticket holders with the Titans. They all had JT headgear. They really joined into it. I thought, you know, when he was supposed to be cheered in the seventh minute of the game, and actually right when that good young player for the Titans, their exciting youngster, Alexander Brimson, he scored at that time when the crowd were getting ready to cheer on JT. I suppose he would have thought then that wasn't going to be his night, but he's not like that. He just then inspired his side to victory and then charmed everyone with his class after the game. It was great, great final hurrah. And some of the things I'll take out of that, nice to see Cameron Smith, his great mate there on the sideline. I think that was a bit of a surprise for him.
Yeah.
His tackle on Ryan James, when he picked up the big fella and drove him into the ground. The kick for his great mate to score his ninth try in a row and create rugby league history, Gavin Cooper. I heard your comments on that, Ray, and I think you're spot on. And what a great player he's been for the Cowboys. And the emotion, and to see opposition players standing around wanting to have their photo taken one last time with JT. I've never seen that with any player in the game or any farewell.
He's a class act, a humble man. It was great to see. Talking of class acts, Sorb, the Roosters have got the job done, another minor premiership, and they're looking very, very hard to beat come this year's grand final.
Yeah, well, Trent Robinson grabbed his fourth minor premiership as coach. I'm not convinced that they're playing at their peak yet. I don't know whether he's got more to come with his side, but that was a very ordinary Parramatta side last night. I think that game will do the Roosters more harm than good. But Robinson, let's say he's done a mighty job with the Tricolours. Cooper Cronk continues his success too. That was his third successive minor premiership. But seriously, boys, $100,000 for first past the post. Let's get serious, NRL. That's a pathetic reward for being first past the post after 25 rounds.
It's been that way for years and years. It's been that way for years and years, hasn't it? It's ridiculous it hasn't been raised.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And I mean, let's get progressive, not remain in the time tunnel. I mean, I think that's pathetic for the NRL Commission to actually stand there and present something for $100,000. I mean, you can play a nines competition, get more than that.
Yep. Attach a sponsor to it and just hand the money over. I think you could do $1 million for that and it wouldn't be out of place. So speaking of minor premierships, they went past the Melbourne Storm, who, despite the fact they had 11-2 penalty count in the first half against the Panthers on Friday night, couldn't get the job done. I know it was a very different Melbourne Storm side than what we're used to seeing.
Well, I said last week that the Storm were false leaders in the premiership. I don't think they deserve to be first past the post, and they've got the hippy shakes. I'm not worried about them beating any of the other teams that are going to make up the top four, even at full strength. They aren't anywhere near the team they were against. They were last year when they played against Penrith on Friday night. As you said, all the penalties they got in the first half, they could only score one try. This match again proved to me that Jared Sutton isn't our top referee. I think his games rarely flow. I know we were texting each other and we were all frustrated with what was going on, and that points out that I think NRL boss Todd Greenberg needs to again come out with a put your whistles away edict if we're going to enjoy the upcoming finals. Suddenly we're seeing again a multiple sin binning of players in game. It's too harsh a penalty, and isn't the way to settle a finals game. We could be in for a really controversial series if this continues.
Just don't do it publicly. Give them the...
No, don't do it publicly. Yeah. Just tell them.
Just tell them. In saying that, Zorb, Michael Jennings, and I know he was distraught after it, but last night, that's just one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on a football field. He deserved to be 10 minutes in the sin bin.
But does it deserve it? No, I don't think it does.
Of course it does.
Josh Mansell on Friday night.
Not when you compare crusher tackles, head-high tackles... other things that go on in the game and they remain on the field. It's ridiculous.
Don't agree with that.
So I haven't seen it. I know Jimmy called the game yesterday, but what did you make of the Dragons win? They didn't have a lot of ball, but they got the job done against the Knights.
Well, they just got it done. I know you like St George, but, gee, they're going to exit pretty quickly. I think Mary McGregor's got an issue. Ben Hunt, what do you do with him? And really, when you look through the teams that are in the finals... really, Sean Johnson and Blake Green, who's been rested and out, they're the form half 5-8 combination, along with maybe Reynolds and Walker at South Sydney. But Cleary and Maloney are out of form. The Brisbane halves are hot and cold. I'd be contemplating maybe putting Ben Hunt in a in a state of origin position, put him on the bench and use him half-back hooker. And I've been quite impressed with Kurt Mann. And if Widdop is ready to go next week, I'd play Widdop half and Kurt Mann 5-8 and maybe bench Ben Hunt and try and get something out of him that way, because watching him against Mitchell Pearce yesterday in Newcastle, he didn't run. He rarely runs throughout the game. Pearce lost the game, but he won that duel. He was an 8 out of 10. Hunt was a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, he shanked a kick there that they nearly scored from, and that would have been on all the Hunt. Yeah, it would have been on all the highlight reels. It was his worst kick of the day. He wasn't too bad, I'd agree. Didn't take the line on much at all. But one of the things, we were calling the game up there with Sean Timmins, and after the game, Paul McGregor charged into our commentary box. Could you believe it? He charged in, and we're on air. We're still on air, and he's pointing to some of the stats, and the stats were just incredible. They only had 35% of the ball in the first half. They ended up being 44% they had and 56 to the Knights, but they made...
Which has been the sad tale for the last 8 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're to blame for some of that.
Correct.
Yeah. But the effort is what he would have been most pleased with, and understandably so too, because on the back of that, there were some really good efforts.
So the tackle count would have been high.
Tackle count, they made 400 tackles and the Knights made 285.
It says a lot.
So it says a lot. What about today, mate? Bulldogs and...
The Sharks and Souths are my two sides that can cause an upset going forward. They're not that fancied at the moment compared to the other teams in the top four. But I think they've got the tough sides that can do the job. I think the Sharks will overcome the Bulldogs today, even though the Bulldogs are finishing well. I don't think it'll be a big win. I think they'll just graft their way to the win and then get ready for next weekend. And it hurts me. I'm not going to tip against Manly, but I think the Broncos have got an opportunity today to set themselves up and maybe fifth position and get themselves a home semi. They've got a lot to play for.
So you're all right. Brisbane 13 plus is what I'm getting from that, but you didn't say it. And the other one, can they cover the start, the Sharks, at 6.5?
Yeah, they can just do that.
Okay, all right. So that's $2. There's a bit of money around for that. So we've got Sharks minus 6.5 at $2. And this is not part of the Zapper, just clearing up. Brisbane 13 plus at $1.95. Good on you, Zorb. Good luck with the week. And we'll speak next week.
I'm on the way to the airport at the moment, taking my gorgeous 15-year-old granddaughter, Elodie, to the airport. She's going to one of the world's great ballet schools in Manhattan in New York.
Wow.
She heads off today. She's a brave young girl. She's gorgeous. And obviously she takes after her grandpa.
Very light on your feet, Saul.
The bravery or the gorgeous or the ballet dancing?
The ballet dancing, of course. Imagine me in a pink tutu.
No, thank you. And a lot of our listeners are just having breakfast now, so I'm not sure you've done them a favour.
She takes after gorgeous Tassie, thanks.
Oh, that's fantastic. How long is she in New York for, Pete?
She's there for a year.
Wow.
Oh, as a 15-year-old.
Good luck to her.
Living and going to school and going to ballet and acting and dancing right in the middle of it.
Wow. Terrific. Very brave of her. Wish her all the best.
All right, boys.